While waiting upon God this morning, I've got my message outline already there. I thought, like Priscilla was saying, in 2 days' time we'll be 13 years old as a church. And so I remembered that there was a time in Israel, we were at the Western Wall, and some families were celebrating their bar mitzvah. And that particular year, it was exceptional in the sense that there was quite a large group, and so they had saxophones, trumpets, they beat their drums and guitars, and they were singing and they were dancing, and four people would carry four poles and had a little tent, and so the teenager would be like he is king, you know? So, and they will have a little procession, and they come to the Western Wall, the boys on one side, the girls on another. And so it was quite an interesting spectacle. I didn't expect it, and so we took some photos and so on and so forth. But we didn't follow them all the way to the Western Wall because of crowds and things. But I've also been at separate times when I witnessed the bar mitzvah at the Western Wall. What it basically means is here's this boy who will be about on the 13th year. And bar mitzvah means son of covenant or son of commandment. Bar, son, mitzvah, commandment. Which means when the child is younger than 13 for the boy, the parents were his covering, so to speak. And there's even said that if the boy was to sin, the parents would be responsible. But at that age, God becomes their covering. So they become responsible to uphold the commandments. They read the Torah. They are responsible to uphold the commandments, all the statutes, and everything. And whereas it was an interesting ceremony, but suddenly I had a sad part in me, because we know that the law cannot make anybody righteous. Romans 10, I think it's verse 4, says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So whereas it was interesting for me as a tourist to witness a cultural event, and yet there was a sadness in me because these teenagers have been thrusted into a responsibility that cannot be sustained, cannot be upheld, because the law cannot make everybody righteous. That was a recollection that I had. But anyhow, while I wanted to experience that event again, the one with the trumpet and so on and so forth, I went to YouTube, so I keyed in bar mitzvah. I was hoping to just have a pleasant time to recollect that event. So I found a little YouTube, not exactly the same event that I witnessed, but an event nonetheless. So I watched it, and just watching, nothing particular happened. About the fourth minute, I began weeping, and then I sobbed. I curled over, and I really wept, and I sobbed. I tried to disengage. I tried to pull myself out, but I couldn't. I had to just let it progress in my mind. What I just shared with you was playing. I tried to ask the Lord, what's happening? And He reminded me that when I was there at the Western Wall, how I concluded that the law doesn't make anybody righteous. And the bar mitzvah thrust young people into a law-keeping situation that cannot make anybody righteous. And so I ended up praying that you just now, Paul, you prayed for Israel, so I pray for God's mercy, and so on and so forth. And it began to lift sufficiently that I disengaged. And I wasn't expecting that, but I asked God, what does this mean? Is there anything else beyond that? I didn't hear any still small voice or anything clear, but just general knowledge came to me. For the boy is a bar mitzvah, for the girl is a bat mitzvah. B-A-T and B-A-R, okay? For the boy is 13 years old, for the girl, for the conservatives, for the orthodox is 12, but for the reform is 13. Those are details we don't have to worry about too much. Other than, it's a coming of age. When you have come of age, you begin to take responsibility for yourself. When you come of age in the synagogue, you can read the Torah. when you come of age, in case there is a problem, a court case per se in the synagogue, you come of age, you can be a witness. You participate in religion as an adult. And I think the other part that is important to share with us is this, that BM Grace, coming to 13 years old, we are not following any Jewish tradition at all. That's not my point. But my point is, maybe there is a significance in the sense that we have come of age, and therefore the direction that our church takes, what happens to it, our accountability, all of us are in it together because we have come of age. You cannot expect your other brother to just pick up the weight and he goes. All of us have come of age. Amen. We've come of age in the sense that if we need life groups to happen, we have come of age. We can decide that it is a good thing. Amen. And we really need it. It's a good thing. We have people who are attending advanced biblical preaching. If you have opened a life group and you don't have people to come and share, well, tap those names. They are there. Tap those names. Amen. It's got to happen. We have come of age. We have come of age to understand what righteousness is. We've come of age to know that there are 66 books in the Bible. Amen. We've come of age to understand many, many things that actually we know so much compared with the average church. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. He single-handedly, shall we say, if you are, you know, Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. I know it's kind of Trinity single-handedly, but you know what I mean. Single-handedly visited us, gave us a reason to gather because He wanted us together. Saw us through, made it happen that we can be a church. And now time has come that we rise up. Amen. Hallelujah. That we are not afraid. Amen. Now, listening to Robert Henderson, he has a very good teaching operating in the courts in heaven. Very typically, like Deacon Paul mentioned, we get this phrase that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And that seems to put us on the defense. But I just want to tweak it a bit. Actually, it's the other way around. Because we are in Christ and the devil is judged, we are in the prosecution. We are in the offense. The devil is in the defense. His counterclaim. Amen. The judgment has been made that we are blessed. The judgment has been made that the work is a completed work. And so blessings are available, blessings are released, and every believer, through the blood of Jesus and the testimony that we have, we go and access that judgment of favor towards us. The devil wants to stand in the way that says to tell you that you don't qualify, which is a lie. And so we take the prosecution stand. We shout him down in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We overcome him by the blood of Jesus and by the testimony that we have. That's why we shut him up. Amen. Because we are in Christ. He is trying to deny us what Jesus has already done for us. If you believe that lie, you missed it. Amen. Hallelujah. Last week, I read from this book, a few pages from this book, and if you want photocopy, I guess you have to see Sister Lantak or somebody like that. Alright? And so I said this because of the testimony that Hagin gave, the importance of walking in love. Amen. Because we see case after case after case that although it's a finished work and the blessings and the provision, all the good things are released, but if you do not walk in love, you can sabotage your own blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyhow, that was last week. Praise God. Can Marcus, you show the slide? I don't think I can finish this message, what I'm trying to share from Hebrews 11 in one session, so we'll continue next week. In times past, we normally hear this. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And some emphasize that it's hearing the Word of Christ because of the resurrection power, that the promises that are there in the Old Testament, they are now fulfilled and made fully available even to the Gentile believer because Jesus has fulfilled the Scriptures, and His death, His burial, and His resurrection makes everything that was promised available. So it is through Christ rather than through the types and shadows. However, some have gone, off balance, insisting that it must only be the Word of Christ, which I think that in itself you have to qualify it and be careful, because, for example, Proverbs 10:22 says this: "The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and He adds no sorrow to it." Whose word is that? Is it the Word of Christ? It's Proverbs. It's Old Testament. Or the blessings in Deuteronomy 28. Whose words are those? Words of Moses. He wrote Deuteronomy. What I'm trying to say here is this. Yes, the words of Christ, because He fulfilled, but don't make it so exclusive that you cut out the Old Testament, which you do yourself a disfavor. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, in Hebrews 10, just to recap, we have very well-used verses. Hebrews 10, for example, Hebrews 10, verse 16 says this: "This is a covenant that I will make with them, and after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds I'll write them." Then he adds, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Amen. So that's a popular verse, well quoted many, many times. And towards the end, in verse 38, "The just shall live by faith." Amen. But we seldom go into details. We just quote those passages. So today I would like to walk us through Hebrews 11, how faith works, and the response from us. It's good to know what faith is, but we also need to see how it works. And then, with the pattern of what faith is and how it works, what is our response to it, besides hearing and just hearing the word of faith? Verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, is the well-used phrase or verse. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What it means is this: the substance is real. Another way of looking at it, the Greek word can also mean title deed. Faith is the title deed. Faith is that substance. It has a foundation. It is a solid, sure thing. It's not wishful thinking. It's not vain imagination. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a bedtime story. Faith is the substance. Solid. Why? Because it's based on the Word of God. The person who has given you the Word, your faith in him, in that person, who that person is very, very important. God is always faithful, even when we find ourselves faithless. Amen. He is a sure person. He does not change. if faith comes from hearing His word, and He does not change, He is dependable. Therefore, if it is in His word, it is solid. You can bank on it. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. So, if you don't have His word, if you're not exposed to His word, you're not reading His word, I guess your account of things hoped for will be kind of low. If your account of things hoped for is plenty, that means you have searched out His word. Am I correct? Otherwise, you're ignorant. If you're ignorant of Him, ignorant of His word, then faith comes from His word. You're ignorant of His word, then you're ignorant of the substance. If you're ignorant of the substance, if faith is the substance, then you don't have much to go by. Amen. Hence the encouragement for us to spend time with Him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5. Which verse is now? Is it 7? It says, now we walk by faith and not by sight. The context is this, like this. When we are here in this world, we are absent from the Lord. Am I correct? Our spirit man is present in this world, in this earth suit. But we have a confidence in Him that when we pass on, we will be present with Him. Amen. And the Lord has done this thing, given us a confidence, and in that confidence, He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Because we can't see our spirit man with Jesus in heaven while we're still alive here. At least not under ordinary circumstances. Amen. And so we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that He has given us the Holy Spirit, which is a guarantee that when we do pass on, our spirit will be with Him. Amen. And so we have this confidence. Brothers and sisters in Christ, only believers in Jesus Christ have this confidence. Anybody else who's not having faith in Jesus Christ does not have this confidence. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not given to them. That's a place to shout. Amen. We are the only ones with this privilege. They don't have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be clear in these things, because everything I'm going to share today, not that today is unique, but everything I'm going to share today is substance that we can use to share with our friends and bring the gospel to them. For we have reached the age of accountability. The future well-being of this church rests upon us. Amen. The Great Commission is on our shoulders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I just thought this morning I travailed, I wept, I curled up, I sobbed. And the more I think about it, I think it's not so much just for those teenagers in Israel, in Jerusalem, that I have witnessed, that them going through their bar mitzvah, although there's one aspect of it. I'm beginning to think that the seriousness of accountability that we've come on age, of age. Hallelujah. Not that we go out into the world, you know, and wrestle with the world like I'm Samson. No. But because He is with us and us with Him. Do you remember the story that when He was in Jerusalem and He went missing at the age of about 12 and the parents missed Him 3 days? Then they came back, they looked around, finally they found Him in the temple. What was He doing? He was disputing with the elders. And they were amazed. Right? And what did He say? What did He say? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? What do we say? What do we say? Are we just in the playground? Or do we have a sense that, hey, I must be about my Father's business? There is a calling. I must be about my Father's business. There is a season. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Holy Spirit within us, because we believe He was given. Amen. New creation. Fruit of Spirit. Character formation. No longer dominated by the works of the flesh, which is contrary to the Spirit, but bearing fruit of the Spirit, a walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, not under the law. Amen. Recently, I went for my regular medical checkup, and I met Dr. Rima. She's not here. Anyhow, you know what they do? They do blood tests and that kind of stuff, and they go through. And I just thought, that's what the scriptures say. This is what I mean. Analogy. In trying to cover Galatians chapter 5 a few weeks ago, walking in the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit, we say that it's the same. To walk in the Spirit and to walk the fruit is the same. And so the Apostle Paul contrasted with the works of the flesh, which is not a very nice list to read, but it's like this. If you got two abutments, walking in the Spirit, walking in the fruit, and the Holy Spirit holds it in tension, because between there and there, we're being led by the Spirit of God, that we're not under the law. Amen? So if in your life, you're beginning to experience, there are markers that you begin to experience the works of the flesh, well, the solution is simple. Repent and change your lifestyle. Just like I went to the medical doctor, he saw everything, you know, usual complaints. Your cholesterol has gone down, but you can do better than this. Yeah, I see. I heard that before. Yeah. And I said, by the way, doctor, because every time I go there, it's not the same doctor, you see. They sort of rotate, so this is a different one. So I thought, I'll make my report. I said, the last doctor, I had a discussion with him. I convinced him to half the statin. You know, I read that statin is not very good. Chong and I had a discussion that statin is no good, so drop it to 20 milligrams, half a tablet. And so I said, you gave me a blood test. I bought fish oil, and I found coconut oil. Now the reading says the cholesterol has dropped, which means it's dropped not because of statin. Am I correct? Right. It's got because of other oils. Ha-ha, prove a point. And of course, the usual story, like the usual story, you know. Your weight can improve. Yeah, your weight can improve. Then I thought, it's like life. You are led by the Spirit of God, and so you do a blood test, and of course, you know, they'll tell you these things. It means you're not dying, but you could make some changes. You could make some course corrections and improve things. Amen. So, walking in the Spirit and walking in the fruit of the Spirit, that's the ideal. That's the ideal. Occasionally, the works of the flesh might appear. Amen? So you realize, hey, that's not you. That's not ideal. Those are no good. And so you mitigate that. You repent. You ask God to help you. You draw His grace. And you push on in the life in the Spirit. Am I okay? Amen? Does that sound like life to you? Amen? So we don't have to, ooh, you know, that's bad, this is good. It's just like that. You are saved, and Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Amen. Hallelujah. So, now I have to get back here. Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. Because if you are hoping for something which you can already see, you've already got it. Use it. You know, unless you got it, but you don't know how to use it. Well, that will be different instructions, I guess. It's something that's not seen, but it is seen by faith's eyes. Can I say it again? not seen by natural eye, but needs to be seen by faith eyes. And where do we see the faith? How does a faith eye see it? The faith eye sees it because the Word of God tells you. And the Spirit of God projects it to you. The Word of God tells you that He loves you. So you need to have faith eyes to see that love is coming your way. And therefore, don't hate yourself. Don't curse yourself. Don't make yourself a doormat to others walk on you. Because He loves you. Amen. And His favor is towards you to promote you. If you always take your position right at the end, I'm just nobody, you know, I let people go first. You could either be very arrogant and proud, and you have false humility, or you're doing yourself a serious disfavor of rubbishing yourself away. And so you're denying God's word for you. We're not saying be cocky, be presumptuous. No. We're saying be responsible, be realistic in the spirit, because God seriously loves you. Amen. He seriously loves you. And He sent His Son to die. That's serious enough. Am I correct? Since Genesis, the fall of Adam and the promise of redemption was 4,000 years before He came to fulfill the word of prophecy. Is that serious? To start something that takes 4,000 years to come about? Talk about long-term planning. That's very serious long-term planning. And after He came, He died, He was buried, resurrected. And for the sake of the Gentiles, He had 2,000 years so all of us can come in. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, by faith, we understand. Say, we understand. So faith gives us an understanding. Which means without faith, there is no understanding. In this context, faith gives us understanding that the world was framed by the Word of God. Which means we will not know what happened, where we come from, etc. without the Word of God. The Word of God says, in the beginning, He created. Amen. We definitely do not come from eggs. Neither do we come from some primordial soup or some algae somewhere. We were created. Amen. Hallelujah. And after that, He says it was very good. Amen. So faith gives us an understanding of creation. And the understanding of creation is necessary because then you can understand what God's plan is or was. And then He blessed Adam and Eve. He had a plan for set them in the Garden of Eden. Gave them a choice. Amen. They fell. And then He set His redemption plan going immediately. This is extremely crucial because no other faith has it except Judaism, because we share the same Old Testament Bible. This is very crucial. We are now, having come of age, we also have to have a boldness and to prophesy and to make decrees. Amen. For the anointing is on us. We need and must know the difference. By faith, we understand creation, and in so doing, we also understand the fall, and we also understand the redemption plan. If we do not understand the fall and don't understand the consequence of sin and death, what's the point in requiring a Savior? What for? Saved from what? Amen. But we have a Savior because we know what happened. Hallelujah. And also, we know that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That means everything that is visible, physical, was made by a spirit being who is in another realm, in another dimension. God, who is spirit, created the physical world. Amen. That's mind-boggling enough. How big is God? That kind of stuff. But faith gives us understanding. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Say after me, faith offers a more excellent sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. What have you got to offer to God that's good enough? Do you have anything good enough to offer to God? If our righteousness is like filthy rags, then what have we got? I think we've got nothing to offer to him, really. And God knows that. So he makes available, he creates a plan.